Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. Just woke up to read some of the comments on the previous Abroad in Japan video, and somebody pointed out, well, a few people pointed out that I spoke about my shiny glasses twice in a row on the podcast, and I'd like to apologise for saying that twice in a row on the podcast, because now I've done it three times in a row on a podcast, so apologies for that. But I'm feeling good, Chris, even though last night I received, I think, my worst review I think I've ever had as a creator of sorts. It was from my dog. My dog came over to me. I was sort of lying on the bed, sort of dozing off, and my little one-year-old border terrier, Sammy, Amiobi the dog, sort of, you know, poodled over to me and put his head into me and went, I think I'm starting to smell like meat. I think I'm starting to smell like rotten beef or something, because my dog just went, yeah, that's the good stuff. And like, dogs like sniffing stuff like dog shit, don't they?
Oh my God, what an indictment.
Terrible.
What an indictment.
I know.
It's weird. I mean, I never really thought much about animals until I got two cats, and now I just sort of sit and watch them and study them and...
What they're up
they're
to.
A lot smarter than they let on. They definitely are. You know.
They're planning something.
There's something going on there. Like the cat Maro. Maro's older. He's like 8 or 9. And he's very perceptive. He just sits on the beanbag all day staring and watching the
staring
world go by.
Staring at you. Good Chris, why do you not make more videos for the people? Why do you do this? Why are you sitting on a beanbag playing Ghost of Tsushima all day?
It's true. I have been, because I've been sick all week, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, and I completed it. It was a bit depressing, really. I was like, oh no, this is the most fun. I've rediscovered why games are fun, which is which is both exciting and worrying, because I was chronically addicted to Ghost of Tsushima. Like, I just could, every time I had to go and do something work-related, I'd be like, just another hour. I'll liberate just one more base.
Just another ghost.
Some Mongolians. Yeah, and I, you know, I forgot how good video games are, and it's changed my thinking a lot. And I've just been ill. So if I cough in this episode, guys, that is why. I don't know what it was. Probably COVID. Everyone's been sick here at the moment. It's just February's just shit, isn't it? I said to you before we started today's episode that February is probably my least favourite month. Nothing good has ever happened in February. My mum was born in February. That's quite good, because that led to me being here. But other than that, and Valentine's Day, which is a shit day. Other than that, February's rubbish. I've never done anything.
What have the
good
Romans given us? Exactly. I would say that. when is your mum's birthday, by the way?
April.
What? Your mum was born in February, but her birthday's in April. That's confusing.
Oh shit! Sorry, I thought you said when's my birthday. My birthday's April. Her birthday's February 16th. Yeah.
Well, many happy returns to Mrs. Broad, to be quite frank, or Miss Broad, however we want to be referred to.
It's awkward because every year I send her a birthday card, I think around February 10th, and then it takes a week to arrive, and it just doesn't. And so for three or
That's
four
not
days,
awkward.
I get
it's just
messages.
Bad planning, Chris. Just bad.
It is bad planning.
Bad planning, Chris.
It is bad.
Do it early.
I haven't learned my lesson in 11 years, but she's always like, oh, we haven't got a card yet. And I just get that for like 4 days. And I'm like, just wait a little bit longer. I didn't forget.
Wait a little bit longer. You're a disgrace. Chris, I'm going to remind you at the start of February next year, if indeed both of us haven't slipped off this mortal coil for COVID-related reasons and general, you know, maybe my glasses will dazzle me and I'll fall down a hole.
Oh, man, the glasses.
I will remind you to send your mother a blooming birthday card, for crying out loud.
Good, good man. And it's my dad's birthday next month, and it's kind of awkward because I think my mum's born February 16th, my dad's born March 15th, and I always, they're 1 month apart, 1 day apart, and it always screws with my head. It's taken me like 30 years to remember their birthdays as a result. It's just annoying.
It's like
Why couldn't
Day
their birthdays
Day?
Be different fucking days? Like, one day after another, 1 month after another. It's
one
just
thing
so
after
annoying.
Another, says Chris Broad, who has to remember two dates in 1 year. It's one
awful.
Thing after another. Well, Chris, I hope, I'm glad that you're kind of back on top, or back certainly in a position where you can play Ghost of Tsushima for about 10 hours on a beanbag. Because we were a bit worried about you, because I think last time we did record a show, you had a weeping injury out of your eye because you'd become allergic to something. And then you immediately got COVID. And we were going to record on Tuesday, weren't we? And you had to cancel because you weren't very well. I'm glad to see you are back on top doing your thing with a slightly rotated camera angle.
Is it rotated? I don't know. I last recording, I wanted to be more intimate with the camera. I wanted to be intimate with
Steady.
The broad. And I'm trying to get closer here.
You wanted to get intimate with a broad?
It's
what
my
kind
new
of
series.
Film is this?
Rebrand the podcast. Well, yeah, I've been trying to play around with the angle a bit. I like this. Walled in. Mm. We haven't seen this wall, if you're watching on YouTube, you haven't seen this wall in a while with all the pipes. I love this wall. Bring it back. Bring back the wall. Been 2 years. We got a story this week from Ash from New Zealand. If I cough during this and die, it'll happen. Dear Chris and Pete, I've been living in a smallish city in Shizuoka Prefecture for nearly 2 years now, working at an Ikawa English language school. About 1 month ago, I was leaving work in the evening to walk home. As a woman, I've never felt fully comfortable alone at night, but always felt relatively safe in Japan compared to back home. I hadn't made it far when a group of men emerged from a side street with lanterns, banging two pieces of wood together and chanting. My God. In that moment, my fight or flight response failed me, and I stood rooted to the spot, certain I had stumbled upon some kind of cult or strange ritual. However, the group ignored me as they continued down a driveway, and I hurried home somewhat quicker than usual. When I asked my boss about it the next day, he laughed and explained that a group of locals go around in the winter checking for potential fire hazards around town, since it gets so dry. I'd obviously bumped into them during their vital checks. A nice bit of community cooperation, though I still don't understand why they have to do so in such an ominous way. I wonder if you've ever come across anything similar. What are some anticlimactic incidents you've had in Japan? Love the podcast, guys. Ash from New Zealand. That's a weird one. I've never seen that. No, that's pretty cool. It makes sense to go around and check for dryness, especially in towns made primarily of wood. Like the town of Sakata I used to live in, burnt down in the 70s. Somebody like dropped a match or something in a fucking cinema, and the whole town went up in flames and ruined the whole town. So, yeah, it's probably a good idea to check. But
what does
that even mean?
The clanking of the pieces of wood? Yeah, why are they walking around with pieces of wood clanking, scaring the dryness off? Does that automatically bring the rain? I don't know how that works, really. Surely they should be going around with a big hose or a bucket of water.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds more symbolic than actually practical, doesn't it? I've got one of those things back in the 1950s room back there. And it's like two blocks of wood and you bang it together and it's kind of like an old-fashioned Japanese warning or alarm using wood, loud wood. But like, I don't know. I've never heard of this before. That's pretty cool.
And do they have like sort of like, I've got a moisture detector at home and I'm not sure it works all that well, but it's like two prongs and it basically just fires out an electrical pulse, I think, and tests the resistance between, obviously, if it's water, it'll be less resistance. If it's just normal cement or plaster, no resistance at all, almost. And are they using one of those probes, or are they just touching the dryness and going, ooh, that's dry, better get this building wet?
Ash didn't really elaborate on this magical tool. Someone's getting around with a stick of wood just banging things. Yeah. Like, it's dry, isn't it? Yeah, it's dry. Fire yeah. resistant. I don't know. I can only speculate as to this magical tool. clearly it works.
Yeah, indeed.
Anticlimactic instance I've had in Japan, just hanging out with Ryotaro, to be honest. Fucking anticlimactic.
Dry, know, very dry. He's got a very dry sense of humour. You got to watch out with Ryotaro.
Like to clack in with some wood. That sounds very sketchy. My God. Yeah, don't know. I can't think of a single time I've seen anything like that. I'm sorry, Ash. You live in a very unique place. The people of Shizuoka don't play by the rules. I really want to go down Shizuoka. It's like one of those sort of areas I've neglected over the years. Like, I've been to Mount Fuji and whatnot and Izu, but it's a really kind of mysterious place and nobody ever goes there. So we'd love to check it out. What's going on in the news this week, though, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in. What's going on in Japan? Somebody's died in it.
Somebody has died. It's Hirotaki Yano, the billionaire founder of Japanese discount retailer Daiso, a mainstay of the Abroad Japan universe and videos. Every time Chris is tasked with getting together, like spending $5 somewhere, he usually heads on over to Daiso, doesn't he? In a statement release on Monday, the firm said he passed away on the 12th of February and a private funeral had already been held by close family members. Daiso is a 100 yen... around about 53 pence or 67 dollars store, sorry, 67 cent store, similar to pound shops. Mr. Yano opened his first discount retailer in 1972 and was seen as a pioneer of the dollar shop business model. Obviously, post-war, the money was just flowing into Japan. I imagine it was a pretty good time to set up a business. But would you be able to start a pound shop empire in 2024? One would suggest probably not, or maybe. It'd be very successful because the cost of living is really, really high.
I don't know. What I know is that we owe Mr. Yano and Daiso a great debt for being the place we do all our challenges on Journey Across Japan at every single episode. I love a bit of Daiso. I do. It is the store where you can buy literally anything. Like, and I think it really puts the pound store, like the what's it called? Pound shop? Poundland? I forgot it. Poundland, pound stretcher.
In Britain, it's always one of those shops that has a cardboard policeman in the doorway. And I always think, and I know, like, they apparently keep the amount of crime down, because if a shoplifter is going to walk in past a picture of a cardboard policeman, they'll go, "Ooh, you know, the the peril for me doing this, stealing a packet of milk." It's going to be really, really high. Yeah, apparently it works. But I always think it just looks a bit low rent, and I don't know why people do it.
I mean, they do that in Japan at the side of the road. Like, I was driving down the road the other day, and there's like a... they do a good job. It's like a cardboard-looking police car, but it's got two flashing lights on the top of it. So it looks, in the, you know, from the right angle, it looks like an actual police car. Because you think nobody would stick two flashing lights to an immovable piece of cardboard. Surely not. But they do, and it works, and it does put the fear of God into you while you're driving around Kyushu. It works. It seriously works.
Good stuff.
Well, I've never heard of Yano-san. Like, I've never heard of him. You hear of like Tadashi Yanai, the billionaire owner of Uniqlo. Or you hear of Masayoshi Son, SoftBank. But I've never actually heard of Hirotaki Yano, even though he's done the most amazing thing. And he was a billionaire.
He's his head down.
$1.9 billion. He kept his head down. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to sit down and meet a Japanese billionaire. I did. I knew somebody who worked at SoftBank, and I was like, get an interview with Masayoshi Son, the founder of SoftBank. And he did try and do it.
But
Masayoshi Son was like, no.
He's bloody busy for crying out.
He's a busy man losing his money. And gaining his money. Like, he lost, I think, more money than anyone in history, the dot-com era. SoftBank blew up, and then the bubble burst. And I think he lost, like, $50 billion or something, a joke amount of money. And then he gradually earned it back, and they lost it on WeWork. And then he keeps losing his money.
He put all the money in WeWork, right, okay. You'd think that, like, WeWork would be back. But it's the guy with no shoes on. I would say this BBC piece is quite interesting because it actually explains what Daiso actually means. It translates to create something big by spending very small.
create something. That's interesting. Yeah. I only learned yesterday that Upper Hotels, like Japan's, I think, second biggest hotel chain.
I was pounding ass.
Well, it's close. It's close. It's like always pleasant amenities. That's it.
Always pleasant amenities.
How mundane is that?
They're talking about that racist book, aren't they?
I was scripting a whole segment in a video about Upper Hotels, and then I remembered, they're like the most racist fucking hotel, like all the materials in the room. And I think they got rid of them. I think they got rid of the racist book. But I don't know.
Racist books are there. I was there in, we were there in one in like August time, and still had them. I don't know.
A little bit of Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii was a false flag attack. Pearl Harbor was a false flag attack. Oh, so good. Yeah. It's such a good book. The greatest work of fiction. Got to go back and find that book. But yeah, there's still a lot of like, you know, big Japanese industrialists. Upper Hotels is owned by one man and his wife. His name I can't recall. But when you go to Upper Hotels, you see they've got Shachor Curry, President Curry, and the woman who like runs it. They've got her face all over it. It's brilliant. I love it.
Startling looking woman. Loves a hat.
She loves a good hat. But yeah, sad news there. Sad to hear about Daiso. But long will he be remembered, even though I didn't know he was until 15 minutes ago. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
Got a message from Kira. Hello, Kira. Hello, Cupid Chris and Plastic Love Pete. I hope to hit up Takadanobaba when I'm in Japan one day, whether it's by myself or with family or friends. This time, I'd like to discuss Japan's music of the 80s. Chris, you once mentioned your favourite city pop artist is Tatsuya Yamashita. And ever since, I've been so curious, who is your second favourite? And since Chris only just read this email about 5 seconds before we started the record, Chris is, I can hear Chris tapping away to remind himself about the other artist that he very much enjoys. So if you can hear the typing, that's basically why. But it, on a more serious note, what are your top three city pop songs? And Pete, do you fancy yourself some city pop? I eagerly look forward to what you guys have to say on this subject. Thank you too for pumping out such a wonderful podcast. I would say that the old... Plastic Love. I can't remember who did that one, but that's the most famous city
Mario
pop song,
Takeuchi.
Isn't it?
Mm.
There we go.
Tatsuya Yamashita's wife.
Is it? Oh, they're a one family city pop endeavour, aren't they? They'll be billionaires soon. It's quite interesting because somebody sang the lyrics in English to Plastic Love, and it's not quite as impressive. It just sounds a bit lame. I mean, when you're listening in Japanese, you're like, oh, that's nice, don't know what they're saying. And then when they translate to English, you're like, they're quite vapid lyrics, really.
What are the lyrics in English? I don't know what the lyrics would be.
There's a woman on YouTube who sings rather beautifully. Plastic Love, English
lyrics. I can't remember the lyrics.
It's just about having a kiss. Just about having a lovely kiss.
I thought it was something... I don't even know what plastic love is. It's something about the disposability of love or the cuteness of it. I don't know. I used to love that song. I actually sort of stopped listening to City Pop about a year ago. I still play it, but like it's sort of everywhere. It's on like in every Instagram
outside
reel, every TikTok. And every Instagram reel uses the same three songs from the world of City Pop. And I'm just so... Once something becomes popular, I sort of run away from it. I don't want to associate with it. I don't know why that is. Maybe I want to pretend I'm special. Well, I'm not. But like when you hear like all your favourite songs just being stuffed in shitty Instagram reels and TikToks to people dancing around the street, it does make you think, oh, fuck that. I've been ruined now. I'm going to go and listen to something else.
I'm going to find something new, baby.
But it is good. My second favourite artist is probably... I got up on screen because I can never. I always bungle the name. It's Toshiki Kadomatsu. He's really cool. He was one of the big ones up there with Tatsuroi Mashita. I've kind of got off it. Really.
Let me grab a CD. I've got a CD on a wall.
Oh no!
I got a CD on a wall.
But yeah, Toshiki Kadomatsu. He's a classic. He's a classic.
City pop.
Here he comes.
Just at least pop. I've got a. I bought like a little mini CD from a crappy record store in Japan. This fella,
Takeshi Kusao.
Any interest? He's got a song. This four songs. It's like a mini CD. I used to bloody love those when I was little. Tiny little CDs. You get a little card. There he is wearing a funky jumper as well. Those of you watching on the YouTube, but he's got a song called "I Love You," Snowblind, Ordinary But Happy Days, and then the fourth track. For my better half. So there we go. I might
wait,
stick that on. Find out what the hell.
That's hell's. Awesome.
I don't know. It's 500 yen from a record store. And I thought, you know, that's quite an adorable little package. I'm not going to open it. I'm going to keep it primo. Gosh darn it.
That's awesome. It's one of those things. I've got like a few LPs laying around. Like I've got a Metal Gear Solid LP. Don't know if that'll be worth anything. But that's
brilliant.
Over there. And I've got like a dismantled
I've got the Shenmue soundtrack from back in the day. That was on vinyl. Really heavy vinyl. Lovely.
Lovely stuff. We got one here from Cam, who says,
Cam.
Hello, Chris and Pete. After listening to the pod for many, many moons, I finally booked my flights to come visit Japan for next month, opting for a cheaper ticket with very limited baggage allowance. I was hoping to pick up some trinkets and memorabilia while visiting and was thinking about how simple it might be for me to post them back home. I am a full-blown, ignorant British boy with no Japanese understanding outside of hello, please, thank you. How to order a beer. Will using a post office be a breeze, or will it be a lengthy bureaucratic nightmare? Thanks for the podcast. I travel in my car for work and look forward to listening to you guys every week. Many thanks, Cam. I think it'll be all right, Cam. Actually, people at a post office, there's usually someone who speaks English, because they do get a lot of like packages and stuff that... are destined for outside Japan, so I think you'll be all right. Just turn up, point at the address, and go, this one, yeah, this one, please. On a
guy's always mask. There's always one at the airport as well. If you want to just wait till the airport and just and there's always a service that will get your stuff back for you at a really reasonable price as well. I've had a limited experience with that, and yeah, great.
Did
stuff.
You do it when you came here with no bags? Because Pete came here with no bags.
No, I didn't
time.
Because I live the no bag life. Hashtag
no bag life.
I think I should start being, you know, like those people who have like little houses or go off grid and sort of camp out in camper vans and stuff and just sell their houses and stuff like that. And like, I might just do that, but I'll be the one bag man. One bag man.
Nomad to no bag. I like that. Good little philosophy. Definitely. Lovely stuff. We've got one last question from Joshua from Utah. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. Part of my religion requires that I don't consume alcohol, coffee, black tea, tobacco, or any form of recreational drugs.
Come on, Joshua, get involved, mate.
Sorry, Joshua's from Utah. I'm guessing, I think we know which religion that is. I'm planning on visiting Japan upon completion of my master's degree, and I'm considering if it will be worth visiting izakayas for food and tea houses. I know you've recommended meeting people at bars in Japan, but considering I don't drink, do you have any recommendations for meeting locals? Are there any other drinks? What, this is a question we get so often. I must say, guys, do not worry. Do not fear. If you don't drink alcohol,
do not fear.
Coffee or tea,
have an oolong.
They will judge you.
You can't have oolong. Any other oolong? Well, I guess caffeine's tea, not really something. Yeah, black tea. Is it a black tea? Yeah, oolong is a black tea, isn't it? Yeah.
But
milk.
There's such an irrational fear, I think, of being rude and not drinking what you're being given in Japan. Don't worry about it, honestly. Don't ever worry about it.
No.
Go into a bar, order the whatever you can drink. What, that must be tough there. I never thought about this. This must be hard.
It sounds like caffeine in the is caffeine out, or is it just black tea, coffee? It's a stimulant, isn't it? So I wonder what the rules are on passive smoking with like religions that don't allow that. I mean, I guess you just kind of go, well, I did my best. I didn't sit near someone, you know what I mean? Like it must be quite difficult if you're trying to keep, you know, keep to the rules, I suppose. Or the laws.
There's a lot of there's a lot of Mormons in Japan. I always bump in, like I'll be out in like an obscure car park in North Japan, and then I'll just run into like two Mormons, and it's just always like, wow. They often don't speak Japanese, and they're, you know, off traveling around and. Fair play to them. They end up in the most rural places and have to get by. And they're always the nicest folks. Mm. And, don't worry about it. You'll be right. Just go in any bar, go in anywhere you want, and just don't worry about it.
I think ordering a water in a bar is actually the coolest thing you can do. I'm not even being sarcastic. I genuinely, like, just get a glass of water and you just sit there and like, what's that guy up to? That guy needs to keep his wits about him. That guy... might have completed the world. That guy's opening a 100 yen shop to compete Daiso, and he needs to be on the level all the time.
Yeah, just get some food, get some water. Actually, that would probably go down quite badly. Don't get water, because you've got to spend some money in there. You can't freebie your way through it.
Get some fucking edamame or something.
There you go.
Hey,
Pete's austere holidays.
I've googled Takeshi Kasau, the bloke who is on this CD. He's basically a voice actor who had a crack at singing by the looks of things. He's been around since 1987, and he voiced Trunks in Dragon Ball Z. Trunks! Actually, he's done loads of characters in Guilty Gear, loads of stuff. Warriors Orochi. Remember Warriors Orochi? People were talking about that so much in the past. I think I did a voiceover for IGN for bloody or something Orochi anyway. Interesting. Kind of.
Didn't do any voiceover for Ghost of Tsushima, did you? That would have been amazing.
I didn't know. I did one. Aww. I did one for a pirating game for Ubisoft recently. It was a lot of fun.
Which one?
Enjoyed it. Skull and Bones, baby.
Oh, what did you have to do? That's awesome.
I wasn't in it. I was just doing the promo voice. Sorry, mate.
Voice. I thought you'd hear you as a pirate.
Pirate Pete.
That'd be cracking.
Well, I mean, the script did have stuff like about like talking, doing jokes about like Tottenham Hotspur, and I thought we can't put that in. It's supposed to be pirates. Not keeping that in.
My lord, my god. Yeah. Keep your stories, questions, comments coming into broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys. Do all over again. Hopefully, my cough will be gone. I can talk a bit more properly then. But for now, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here. Do over again on the Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.